play with fire. Now it's time you learn. It's a funeral pyre and I'll watch you burn. Wanna play with fire. Now it's time you learn. When you play with fire, then you're gonna get burned.
Thank you. We are the Electric Aces.
That was a killer set from the Electric Aces. Thank you guys so much. We're looking forward to talking with all of you in a couple of minutes. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We're going to read a quick PSA, listen to another song, and then maybe another song or two, and then we'll have a little chat with the Electric Aces. There's something very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it sends more people to the trauma center than any other household item. Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org/ladder safety. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and your safety-minded friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
Falling out of a tree has a similar effect in my experience.
Yes, let's try not to fall, everyone. Feet on the ground.
In general.
Yeah, falling's not a great thing. And here's a local band from New Jersey, which is stretching local, but
well,
from, it's local. They, local
they live
enough.
Here.
They
you
do.
Know,
they
yeah.
do.
Safe in salmonella, sleeping soulless bunch of people peeking. Pandemonium jumps around the room. Balloons and cherry pits among the children. Chewing bubble gum, I'm fading, fading far too soon. But you could wake my dimples, light my fits of puzzle pieces. What's the matter with me, anyways? And you could only feed the birds whose cries of joy could leave me wondering, what's the matter with me, anyways? I turned away because the nitty gritty details seemed to bore my pretty. Why did I stay? I'll bury the dirt, forget your face. I loved you, but I can't replace the words you used to say. I collect my simple mind, the watermelon seems so blind, and what's the matter with me, anyways? You won't know the reasons that I'm falling through the seasons. What's the matter with me, anyway? Try as I might to get you out of my mind, it seems like I've done everything. I know it's bad. Checkered patterns all worn off. What's the matter with me, anyways? You can't fix what's broken. My temporary token asks me what's the matter with me anyway.
Thank you.
That last song was Home Despot with Surreal Estate, and before that we had Wrong with Monster, and before that Kovatova with What's the Matter with Me Anyway. And now I am joined in the studio with the Electric Aces. Say hello.
What's going on, guys?
Wonderful. And I also have my co-hosts over here to help me out.
It's Jeff and Allison.
What's up?
All right. So, guys, that was an awesome set. How did it feel?
Good, awesome.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird to do it live in a room where there wasn't a lot of like amplification because we did it all directly into the board.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a weird experience for me, but it was fun.
Turn your headphones down a little. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hopefully, no more feedback.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Joel was saying how nice it was that you guys had, like, there were only two live feeds and everything else went right into the board.
Yeah, which is, I think, a really cool way to do it. It was just wild to do it in with, like, headphones and stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Yeah. So, the Electric Aces, how'd you guys get the name?
So, it's pretty funny. The original concept for the band that I had was that it would be called the Velvet Aces. And I was going to think about it in the terms of, like, kind of like a joke band, so like everybody in the band would have a personality. Like the lead singer would be called like Velvet Jones, and the guitar player would be called like Ace something, and then it'd be Velvet Aces. But I never told you guys this.
Yeah. Oh my god! Yeah, I wouldn't have joined.
Yeah. So that was the original concept of the band, Jones. The Velvet Aces. But I'm like, that's not very rock and roll. So, and I'm like, the problem with naming bands, as everybody knows, is that all the good names are taken, right? So, I mean, it's really hard to come up with a really good, memorable name.
Weezer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're all taken, right? So, but I thought there was promise in the word aces. I like the idea of, like, putting together, like a ninja assassin group of rock and roll players. Like, everybody's a really killer player.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that aspect of that concept. And then the word electric kind of came to me. And then I did a quick search, and I'm like, oh, wow, it's available. How did nobody else take it? So I grabbed it, and that's how the name came to be. But as far as like how we all came together, that's another crazy story. So this is a project that I've been trying to put together for a long time. I've had a lot of riffs and ideas that I've been trying to like put into a band format, and I just couldn't find the right players to help me bring it to life. And so I was jamming with a couple of guys, but I knew that I needed to find a voice. I needed to find a singer to make this all happen. And so I put out like every possible Craigslist ad, Facebook ad, you know, did the whole social media thing forever. But at the time we were rehearsing in a studio in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and I put a flyer on the corkboard, and that's how Lizzie saw the poster. So OG old school. Lizzie, you want to talk about what happened next, or you want me to tell the story?
It was actually a really funny poster. It was a picture of these like super cheesy 80s looking guys, which now I know why with the velvet aces. Like, oh my god, I dodged a bullet with that. But no, I saw the flyer. I was rehearsing with my cover band, and I was like, oh, you know, that seems like fun. I want to do original stuff. That'd be a good time. So I texted him. And I was like, hey, I saw your flyer on the board. You know, I'm interested in auditioning for the singer part if you're still looking. And Chris texts back, and he's like, yeah, do you have any clips or recordings of your voice? And I recorded a cover with couple of friends of mine from Connecticut, so I was like, yeah, I do, and it's like a heavy metal cover, and I sent it to Chris, and he goes, hey man, you sound great, I like your voice. And I was like, thanks. He's like, what's your name? And I was like, actually it's Lizzie. And he goes, dude, I'm so sorry, I had no idea. I was like, oh yeah.
So in my defense, because I know this sounds horrible, right, like how did I not know that? I could tell that it was a great voice. The problem was that I was at an open mic and it was really loud because I'm like looking for singers. And as Lizzie's text came through, I could hear it, but I couldn't hear it very clearly. But I could tell it was like on key. It was dope. And I'm like, okay, well, let me at least keep her on the hook until, or him on the hook until I can get to my car and listen to it. And it turned out that I was way off. It's Lizzie, and she's been so great to be in the band with Lizzie. She's got such a powerful voice, if you guys have just heard. And so I feel super blessed that even though it was a comical entry, we've gelled so strongly together. It's been so great. And then it was just a matter of trying to find the rest of the band. So the guys that I was rehearsing with dropped out. So Lizzie knew Dan from around town kind of situation. And Dan's a super talented He's been in original projects before, super talented with cover band stuff as well, with his band Gloomy Sunday. And then we needed a drummer, and I couldn't find a drummer to save my life, so we kept reaching out to everybody. And if you guys are ever wanting to get into the music game and not sure what instrument to play, drummer's where it's at right now. It seems like there's a dearth of good drummers. So if you're interested in drumming, keep at it, because I'm sure you'll get a gig. But I did like an internet search this time around. I did like all the hashtags, and I found pictures of Nick. And as you can tell, you know, in the studio, Nick's a handsome dude. He's very interesting. And I said, hey, yeah, this guy looks like he played the rock and roll part. And as you know, is
so good. I got it because I'm good looking.
Well, I mean, that's how you got in the door. And then, yeah, luckily enough, you're playing like backs it up. And so it's been great having these guys together. You know, it's been funny because we've only been together since August. So we're a really new band. But we still have gelled so well, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, so you guys are coming up on almost a year.
Almost a year.
That's exciting. Awesome. Yeah.
So we need to, like, find ways to, like, get better gigs. And so we brought our manager on board, and he hasn't really been doing a great job. So
hopefully he's not listening.
Well, he's here. He's here in studio. Ollie's our...
Ollie, an emotional support manager.
Yeah, yeah. So we need Ollie to step up his game a little bit. He likes to work for Doggy Biscuits and things like that. So we haven't found the right magic treat to get him motivated to get us the big gigs.
Yeah, he's got a couple good ones.
He's got a couple good ones. Yeah, he's got the promise. He's not worth the 15%, but...
Yes, you are. You're worth 20%.
Just put a flyer around his neck and send him into the venue.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. He would get everybody.
Oh, yeah. Right on. No, Ollie's great. He comes to all our practices. And he's like the fifth Beatle.
Yeah, and what a champ. I mean, I went out during your set, and he was just camped out on the couch, passed out, looked very, very at ease.
Yeah.
It was great, yeah.
He's a chill pug, man.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And I'm thankful that Chris and these guys let me take him.
Yeah, oh, he's
truthfully,
awesome.
That's why you're in the band, is the pug.
Yeah. Right on.
Good looks. Oh,
like, and the good looks.
All these rock coming this time, like, yeah, practice is canceled anyways.
When they said you got in the door with good looks, it wasn't your good looks, no offense.
Yeah, it was the dog.
That was a burn.
So how long have all of you been playing music? I heard that you were in a cover band previously, mm-hmm. and... other projects.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I've been playing music almost all my life, but have been, you know, when you get married, you have kids and stuff like that, and you guys are too young to know all this stuff, but your priorities get shifted, and then once your kids get a certain age, all of a sudden the opportunity to re-engage with music becomes a lot more open. So I started playing in a cover band. But I was always, like, on the fringe with original projects. They just never made them happen. So I've been in a cover band for about 12 years now called 11. And you guys are all too young to know what that name is referencing. But it's, for those of you out there in Radioland, it's a Spinal Tap reference. So, Oh, my God, Lizzie, you didn't know.
No, I had no
idea. It goes to 11,
like,
right?
Lucky number,
so,
I guess.
So YouTube Spinal Tap 11, and you guys will get the joke. So, yeah, I've been playing music for a long time. And everybody's musical in this band, apart from being in Electric Aces.
Also, I realized that I didn't ask any of your names. So if you wanted to say your name and what instrument you play.
So why don't I say my name is Chris, and I play guitar, and then I'll turn it over to you guys.
My name is Lizzie. I am the vocalist.
I'm Nick, the drummer.
Shout.
Dan, the bass player.
we read you loud and clear. So, perfect.
But hang on. So... Lizzie's in an awesome cover band as well, so I'd love for her to talk mm-hmm. about that.
I think I'm coming up on 10 years with this same cover band. It's called Project Alice. We're a female-fronted tribute to hard rock and heavy metal, so we do everything from Pantera, Hailstorm, Queensryche, Iron Maiden, all of it. I love it. I grew up, my mom, like when I was a kid, I remember she put on Metallica's Black Album and it was over. And then she created the monster. But I've been singing since I was about 2 years old. And my mom wasn't a stage mom. She would kill me she was kind of like, I'm going to sign her up for this, going to sign her up for that. And I tried guitar, I tried drums, I tried saxophone, I tried it all, and it was just singing I stuck with. Mm-hmm. And throughout high school and college, I was classically trained. I used to sing opera for a long time. And then I found Lamb of God, and... that went out the door. And yeah, and I've been having a lot of fun. This is the first like original band I've been in and writing the stuff, and it's been so much fun.
The Dan's also in an amazing cover band.
I've been playing drums since I was 12. Sorry,
no, Dan. No, man. No, that's cool. Keep going.
Yeah, I've just been playing, always heavily involved with music growing up. In high school, I kind of went like the production way and did like hip hop and R&B and stuff like that. And I still do that, but this is actually my first band as a drummer.
Very exciting.
So, yeah, it's exciting for me, man. I'm just having a blast. And these guys and Liz treat me very, very well. Everyone actually is very open to like creativity and just like doing, you know, whatever's needed in the song. But like it's kind of like a freedom there. We don't have to like worry about some things you have to worry about in other bands. Or if I was playing with like a younger group, like mm-hmm. not to call you guys old.
I read that as established professional. You know, yeah. You know what you meant.
Sorry.
He's
breathing in the mic. You got something to say, bud? I'm gonna hand it over to Dan.
Yeah, we all are. We all have another side project happening. So this was a great collaboration when we all got together. So yeah, it's been good.
How long have you been playing bass?
Yeah.
How long have I started when I was 17, so we're looking at about 33 years.
Awesome.
So it's been a ride.
Yeah, this is 10,000 hours.
This is one of those projects where it really, and I've been in a couple of other pretty good projects, and this one came together very, very quick. Everybody was very invested in it, and you know, we've already got what we say today, 15 shows under our belt in the mm-hmm. first, you know, 5 months here, or 6 months, so, of gigging. So it's been pretty good.
And the EP's been out for a while. We recorded that. When did we record that?
We recorded that, like, September, and it's been out since January 10th or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's called Power Trip. Well, let me say that loud to the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, say it loud.
Yeah. So if you're looking for it, it's called Power Trip. The band is Electric Aces. It's on all the streaming platforms like Spotify and Amazon and Apple Music. So really excited to have that out there. And you know, we're looking forward to recording another set of songs as well. So you know, more to come.
Perfect. Awesome. And you guys spoke a lot about creativity in all of your responses. What is your creative process like when you're writing songs and bringing it together?
Don't think about it.
It's a weird situation, obviously, because like I don't write. I come up with the main like riff ideas for the songs, and then bring it to the band, and we, you know, jam on them and figure things out. In terms of like my writing process, it's more about trying to find riff ideas that inspire me, that make me feel like, you know, I really want to play them and have that kind of energy that I think I'm trying to foster for the band, right? So high energy rock and roll, you know, fun music that you want to listen to at a bar, with a couple of, you know, cool ballads in between. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my inspiration in terms of trying to find and trying to put it all together musically, so that, you know, there's enough things happening musically that makes the song interesting. And then, you know, I try to bring it to the guys and Lizzie and try to see how they're feeling about it. Generally, you know, we've been pretty lucky. There's only been a few songs that we haven't really taken to the next level, but most everything has been kind of adopted. And then the magic is that I don't write vocals. I don't write vocal melodies. It's not my forte. So that's something that, you know, so blessed to have Liz in the band, because she does that so well, and she's coming into her own as a songwriter, I think, taking those riff ideas and adapting them to the music or the melodies and stuff like that. So
yeah, I mean, she does it really quick too.
Yeah, like, wow. It's magical.
So how do you do it?
Marijuana. No, I gotta be honest, I Chris will send me the riffs and I'll just listen to them over and over, almost like obnoxiously, like over and over. Like I'll play them in my truck and my kid's like, "Mama, enough. I don't want any more." But I listen to it over and over and then I start to get like a groove to, and I hum over it and then I come up with the lyrics. And really I think about like what the song, like what the feel is of the song, like Sunset Woman that we played, I wrote in maybe 5 minutes about someone I met at the Rainbow in LA. And she was telling me about all the rock stars that she was with, and she had lived a life, and I was just buying her drinks so I could hear it all. And like me, I don't even know if any of it was true, but I was just like, but I heard that riff, and it was very 80s Sunset Strip, like rock feel. So I was like, all right, so you know, let's do that. But now we're getting to a point where we're doing other songs, and you know, if there are like significant things going on, like in my life, like the song "Burn It Down," I wrote about. A breakup that I went through, and kind of like you find your own, and like, you know, you basically, essentially you burn down any like bridge that you used to have. But it's, you know, we have a song that we're currently working on that I had started writing because I had someone in my past that I had known had passed away. And I was like, you know, the riff you sent me is really sad. I'm like, this is going to be a sad song. And they're like, you know what, just go for it and run with it. And it's actually turned out to be like, probably one of my favorite songs, even though it is, but it's starting to have that meaning. And these guys are so supportive. If they don't think that, like, I'll ask them flat out, like, do you think that sounds good? They'll say, oh, try singing it this way or change it this way. And I mean, Chris is just like, this sounds great. And then Dan's like, Dan's just like, well, let's try this a different way. But it's like a tiny little thing. But you guys have been so supportive. And I mean, like, it's so great too to have Nick in the band because it drums and bass for me, like, I love you so much, Chris, but drums and bass are it for me as a vocalist. So like when that comes together, it's just so good. And Nick is like a young Tommy Lee. Like he just, like his energy and his like enthusiasm, and I've said this time and time again, but like you really do remind me of him because you're just so gung-ho and ready to go, and you're like so much fun when it comes
to
writing.
I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah. I haven't done my research really.
No, don't. Let it be a good thing.
I don't know if we said it when you guys first came in, but you guys sounded awesome in there.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a blast to play. It's a blast to play rock and roll. Like, you know, I know that there are different musical tastes that you could follow, but for me, like the energy of, you know, four people rocking out in a basement is something magical, and we can bring it on stage, and people can enjoy it. It takes it to a whole nother level. So. Yeah, it's been really rewarding to be part of this band, so I'm just really looking forward to what we're going to do in the future.
Yeah, and so speaking of the future, you guys have been, or let's start at the past, you said that you've been to 15 gigs recently. Do any of them stand out as like a favorite gig that you've had so far?
Ooh.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on this one. The last one we had was at the Square Root in Rossendale, which for... those of you who know the Square Root, it's a very small room. It's just a coffee shop.
Cafe. And,
yeah. There's no stage to speak of. It's basically just a guy's restaurant, and he enjoys putting on bands. And so every Friday and Saturday nights, I think he has bands. He's a really cool dude. His name is Anthony, and he's a really sweet guy. So that last gig was amazing. We had some really great bands that played with us. So a band called Spectacle... was really awesome, and a new band that's around called The New Noise, just fantastic, just a bunch of great guys and great music. And then the night was capped off with the always entertaining Frankie Hollywood. And the Melted Chapsticks. If you guys have an opportunity to check out the Melted Chapsticks, they are a great band. They're so much fun.
I think I just heard about them the other day.
Yeah. Oh my God, they're so much fun.
They're always around too, which is always great. Yeah, so particularly in the Somerville kind of circuit, they play a lot. And Frankie's a great guy, and the whole band is awesome. But yeah, that band, that night was really fun. I think we... for whatever reason, we just really had great, great energy that night, and it worked really great. So, but I mean, to be honest, all of them have been interesting. There's been like, you know, the band kind of comical mistakes and things that happen. But overall, I think it's just been a blast.
The first one was probably like, for me, the first gig that we did, our debut gig, was probably like That was awesome. Because, yeah. Like, to see, well, we hadn't even, I think we had released the EP, like, a week before.
The week before.
And there were people out there, like, in the audience that were singing along to the lyrics. And, like, for me, like,
It was a home crowd,
but you know what? It felt so good. I think we had 200 something there for the debut.
Yeah.
Like 200 something people.
That was magical.
But to see people singing songs that like we wrote was just like, it's better than any drug out there. It was so good. Like we left that gig feeling so good, and then we did a show on a Tuesday night to
three people at O'Brien's.
So nice. It's like it's the true like
it's like the full spectrum.
Yes,
so rock and roll.
It's like oh, you did, and he did not miss a beat. He fell off the drum stool.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about like playing in this band or playing in any band, really. It's like some nights, you know, everything's clicking. You've got a crowd. Everybody's you're like, yeah, I love doing this. And then you do another gig. It's like the bartender and the barmaid are there. You know,
it's like watching the TV.
Yeah, right. And then you're like, why am I doing this again? But you know, it's sort of like you know, you enjoy doing it, and so
sometimes you don't know until you do it. Yeah, you know?
True.
I don't know if it's just right now, but like I love just like jamming with these guys. Like it's like the same thing as doing a show for me. Like just playing.
Yeah.
And like just having people watch is just an extra. Like
I think that's true.
Awesome. For me, at least.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean,
obviously, when there's two people in the crowd, I'm like, fuck. I mean, poof. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that. The challenge is obviously you want people to be there so that they can talk about you and bring people to the next gig and you build an audience because, you know, these promoters need to bring people in. So if you out there enjoy a band, you know, do your best to support them. Live music is important. It's something that the city and the state and the community really needs. And I think more people need to, like, you know, binge stuff on the weekdays and go out to see bands on the weekends.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we all need to get back out there since COVID's kind of subdued itself. I don't know what the right word is. But yeah, I think, you know, we need to be more out there and support local music.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
I mean, that's what this whole show's about.
Hell yeah.
And go outside, go see a local band. It might change your life. You never know.
Yeah, the band might change your life. You might meet people.
Mm-hmm. Go see the Electric Aces at the Midway Cafe.
Exactly. Right on. So great segue. Yeah, so we have got a big show coming up. It's going to be a really great one for us because it's at the Midway Cafe, which is legendary in the local music community for just showcasing local bands. It's in Jamaica Plain, if you don't know of it. Right on Washington Street, and we're going to be there July 7th, which is a Saturday. Is it a Saturday? Anyway, it's July 7th, I know that for sure, at 10:30, and we're playing with a band called Jean Paul. So it's us and Jean Paul. Yeah, come on out. Come check out the Electric Aces live. It's a great experience. You won't go home, you know, regretting anything.
Yeah.
Well.
That's a bold promise. Well, maybe you make good regrets. You know, those kind of regrets you can tell your kids about later.
Regrets that last a lifetime.
Yeah.
Right on.
And we're also offering a meet and greet with our band manager.
Right on.
Ollie.
$50 an hour.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good deal. The 7th is a Friday.
Correction. Yeah, thank you so much. Oh, Friday, July 7th. Yeah. So, yeah, if you can come out to check us out, we'd love it because we rock and roll. And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. I am going to have to check my calendar. That sounds like a fun time to me. And it was at the Midway Cafe?
The Midway Cafe.
Awesome.
In Jamaica.
In JP, yeah.
I love that place.
And I guess I'd also love to ask, as music listeners, are there any venues that stand out to you as favorites in
the area?
In the area.
I mean, there's so many. Go ahead, Nick.
I liked Ralph's.
Ralph's in Worcester?
Ralph's in Worcester.
It would be awesome if they put a little bit of money into this.
Keep it safe.
They're in Worcester. They're not here.
Exactly.
Let me tell you something. When you lump your stuff up three flights of stairs and then you're playing through a 1987 PA, like, you know, help us out.
So, yeah, if you can trek all the way out to Worcester, because I know a lot of listeners here are from in the college kind of community, so and may not have access to a car easily, but if you can make your way out to Ralph's in Worcester and see a show, it is an experience. It is true rock and roll venue.
It's a rock and roll venue.
It's not even totally. Rock and roll. It's punk.
Yeah, it's really
it's
punk.
It's straight up punk.
And it's a blast. I do agree with Dan that the sound system is lacking, but it's also kind of like one of those things that maybe if they fixed it, it would lose its mojo. I don't know. But, I mean...
You better.
But I think it depends on what kind of venue. Like, in terms of places that we played, I think Ralph's was a really great experience because it had that vibe.
The jungle was awesome.
The jungle
was
awesome. Yeah.
The jungle is cool.
We'll do the jungle again in August.
Yeah, we'll be at the jungle. I love Brighton Music Hall. I think Brighton Music Hall is a great place to see a show. It's a nice small room. Sinclair in Cambridge is also really great. Mm-hmm. So if you book the Sinclair or the Brighton Music Hall and listening to the show, give us a call. We'd love to play your venue. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that and the House of Blues.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, there's the new venue, Roadrunner.
Yeah.
And have you been to any shows there?
I have.
What would you...
All right, I'll tell you what I think, and you can tell me if you agree. I went and saw Alter Bridge, so I don't know if you guys know who Alter Bridge is, but they're an awesome rock band. And Mammoth opened up for them, who's Eddie Van Halen's son, Wolfgang Van Halen. Anyway, the point is, it is a huge room. Like, the room is gigantic, but it's set up like the House of Blues in that there's not a bad spot in the club. You can get a great sight line anywhere in the room. There are enough bars in the space that you don't have to, like, trek all the way across the venue to get a beer or whatever else. So that's really cool. And the sound is amazing, but it's a huge room, so if you don't have the right band in there, and that place can feel cold fast.
Yeah.
But they're doing a good job, I think, of bringing in big acts and like filling that space up. It's a great experience. It's just like, imagine the House of Blues with a clean paint job and a few more bars and like 20-30% bigger.
Yeah. Blue.
Yeah.
I've been fairly satisfied. I think the last time I was there, there's a weird echo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
I didn't pick up on it because of the drugs.
Yeah. I mean, I think it might have also just been where I was in the crowd, but overall, they do a pretty good job.
It's a big space, so an echo doesn't surprise me. And there's a lot of concrete as well. Like, I think that's one of the things that maybe House of Blues has over it. There's more wood fixtures and maybe the dead and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not an engineer.
I think it also depends on, like, the crowd and everything.
Yeah.
Because people dampen sound so
much. Yeah, right on.
Jeff is an engineer.
We're all engineers,
actually. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's hardest on the sound guys when it's an empty room.
Yeah.
There's no people there to help suck up some of the boo-boos,
for
you
sure.
know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right on.
Here's an interesting one. What would you say is the best piece of advice that another musician has given you?
Who wants to take that one?
I'll tell mine.
Yeah.
Practice more.
Get your 10,000
hours. It totally
helped
me. I was probably about 22, and I was playing with a guy who I ended up playing with for pretty close to 15 years, and he was a virtuoso. And, practice more, and I got better. Go figure. So.
It's funny how that works.
Funny how that works, you know?
Mine's Lil Wayne, be yourself.
Yeah.
I think the best piece of advice I got is actually from one of my friends. His name's John Paquin. He's in a local band that's played in the area called Bad Marriage, and they're just going on, I think, an international tour now.
Makes sense.
I think
they're going around with Tesla right now.
No, they were with Tesla. I think they're with Enough's Enough and the Choir Boys,
enough.
I think. But John, when I first started, he was like, you have to not be afraid to be a little cocky. And I'm thinking to myself, because anytime someone would like compliment me, I'd be like, oh my God, oh, thanks. And I'm always going to be my own worst critic. I think we all are. I think any musician is. But he said, you can't be afraid to be a little cocky, especially when you're on stage, because people want to be you.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what happens, just remember, no matter what anyone says in that audience, they want to be you and they're not. And I'm like, you know what? That's cool. And it's not just like saying like, oh, they want to be you because you're so cool. Like, they want to be you because you're in a band. You're doing the thing that you enjoy. And he's probably one of the coolest frontmen. And another word of advice I got from my friend Jeff and Stacy was maybe turn down a little less suck in the monitors.
Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, I'd cap that off and just be saying that. Just say, I think as a musician, you need to you know, just like dance into your practice and get your material down. But then when it comes to performance, you got to get out of your head and just feel it and just go with it and let the music do the talking, as cliche as that is. I think sometimes as musicians, you can think so much about the performance that you can, you know, Murphy's Law, create your own kind of worst nightmare scenario. So finding that, being comfortable enough with the material that is, you can turn off that part of your brain that is critical and just feel it is something that I struggle with even now. So that's the advice I would give people.
Yeah, just trying to get into that kind of like flow state.
Flow state is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be the music. No.
I guess how about... Are there any other instruments that you guys play other than the ones that you play in this band?
I can't play anything else. I wish I could.
I'm a bass player.
Yeah.
I play a little guitar, and I'm sure he can play the bass. But, I mean, as far as, like, feeling comfortable enough to get on stage and do it in front of people.
Yeah, I don't think I would enjoy playing the bass. Like, I don't think it's something like I'm sure. And I would, because I think it was just, like, such a huge instrument that requires so much, like, musicality that's different than what I'm used to, right? Because, I mean, when you're playing guitar, there's more higher frequencies, right? So you got to understand how your instrument relates to the music. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think I don't do well with bass. But I can't even play finger drums. Like, I tried to create a track for these guys, and I had a music... I had a drum track idea, and I'm like, I put it in GarageBand, and I had pads on padding along, and oh my God, it was a nightmare. Like, no quantizing. Quantizing would not fix that mess.
It doesn't have quantize, dude.
It lines up the beats. Oh, yeah. So I'm just stuck with one thing, and I'm just trying to figure that out.
For me, I've tried everything. Nothing ever stuck, so I'd stick with vocals. But when it comes to, I mean, technically, like, different vocal stylings, I guess, would be kind of an instrument. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can...
You're just a great vocalist.
Essentially, I could do anything from, like, Whitney Houston to, like, Pantera. So that's my... And actually, no.
Alongside I think we did both.
Yeah, we actually did, though. That was very awesome. Weird. So, I mean, I do the gutturals, I do the screams, all that stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's kind of an instrument.
Definitely.
For sure.
I mean, I do the producing thing, so mm-hmm. I understand it. But as far as playing live, I'm a drummer. I mean, I don't think I could play. I think I could do anything if you give me time, but mm-hmm. I would say I'm a drummer, and I understand every instrument. Like, that's another thing, too. I try and, like, understand, like, the guitar and the guitarist, so it makes my job easy because then I know what he needs from me as a drummer. Like when Chris is soloing, I try and just keep it simple. Maybe not all the time, but try and keep it as simple as possible so he can, you know, people can really pay attention to what he's doing, mm-hmm. and vice versa with everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds like you guys have a really good like synergy as a group. And it comes through in your sound. I mean, I wouldn't have guessed that you guys have only been together for like less than a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate
that.
Yeah.
Put a lot of hours in.
I have been trying to teach myself acoustic guitar, man. It's like my thing is falling apart. Yeah. All right. It's not easy. Yeah.
I have an acoustic guitar, and I play it about 1 minute a year. My fingers can't feel it. I can play bass for 4 hours straight. I can't play the acoustic guitar.
That's interesting, because you should have calluses already from your...
They're different.
Yeah. Is it just because of the size of the strings?
Yeah.
It's different, so I need more strength than I do, like, dexterity, and the guitar players have this kind of a thing with their fingers. Like so it's just... an acoustic is a biting, thick string. Yeah. Electric's a little easier. You got...
It's a little slinky.
You know, you've got a magnet helping, you know, pick up some sounds. Yeah, so acoustic guitar is very hard, but I'm not going to go and buy an electric guitar to have my wife yell at me for.
You don't want to have the giant collection like I do?
Well, no. I've got three basses and an acoustic. So I got four hanging on the wall too. You know,
it's
like
it's crazy. I think guitars are one of those weird things where like they're like shoes in some ways. They like you can never have enough. You know? I mean, like I've got so many guitars and I love each of them.
Yeah.
And I get in trouble with the family because I want to buy another one. The rule in my house apparently is one in, one out. So I'm at the point in my collection where I can't surrender any of my guitars to get that other guitar that I covet. So mm-hmm. we have to negotiate scaling that up somehow.
I think maybe you could...
Another trip to Mexico will do it for us.
Yeah. Take the family in Mexico, come back with the guitar.
Just get a double neck, get more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
That's right. Right on.
Single necks or double necks would be awesome.
Yeah. Jimmy Page, double neck, coming to Chris's house.
So, on the songs that you guys have already, are there any lyrics or any anything about like your lyrics, meanings behind the songs
burn
that you guys would like to dive into?
Burn It Down is one of my lyrically out of all of our songs. Burn It Down is probably my favorite. It's just like mm-hmm. filled with all these cool lines that Liz came up with.
Thanks.
You want to sing some of it? No.
No. No. What are some of your favorite lyrics, Chris? I don't know this. So this is, I'm like, the pressure's on for them.
You know, it's funny. There are a couple of lyrics that really stand out to me. And I remember when I first heard Lizzie deliver them in practice. And I'm like, wow, that's so great. In Sunset Woman, there's a couple of lines, right? So one of them is... a demon with a backstage pass.
Yeah,
well, for me, it was like the most clever kind of turn of phrase because it was like it said so much about who that person was that Lizzie was trying to describe. She's a groupie. She's really into the band groupie life, but she's also got a mischievous, I'm sure, side of her personality, right? So she's a demon breaking hearts and all this crazy stuff. That was one of them, and then the other one in that I love when Lizzie belts it out is finding God at the in the back of the bus, which again is the same kind of concept, but another way to illustrate it. I thought it was really awesome, and the way that it actually comes out in the song is so badass that I love that. But there's other stuff that Lizzie does in some of the newer stuff, the other material that unfortunately you guys can't hear yet. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like we're working on a song right now. That's the song Lizzie was talking about earlier about losing a friend to drug addiction. Just some of those lyrics are just so crazy good. But unfortunately, you guys can't hear it yet. So.
Yet.
And so, when do you think we might be able to?
Yeah.
So my expectation, and if the stars align and everything works out, I mean, we hopefully should be back in the studio like mid-summer, I imagine.
June,
July. So that process may take, you know, a month or so, and then getting it packaged up and ready for release. It'd be great for us to kind of coincide that with like a big gig or something like that. So we need to target like the release of that. So we hope to get another three or four songs out by this fall, which would be really cool because it'd be kind of like the end of our first year as a band. So we started off with a release. It'd be great for us to end the year with a release, I think. Just as like a milestone achievement for this band. That's my thought. But yeah, I don't, you know, but like, what did the guy say? There'll be no wine before it's time. You know, we got to get it all together and make sure it's right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you can hear these songs when we perform them live. So,
yes.
There you go. Yeah.
Come to a show.
July 7th.
Excellent. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then you said that there was one in August as well.
Yeah, we got a couple of in between. We got some in June. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got a full slate of gigs way up until like August, it feels like. So you guys can go to our webpage, which is, if you just search The Electric Aces on Facebook or on Instagram, you'll find us. And there's a link tree to our information, and including our website that has all our dates on there. There's a couple of big ones. Obviously, the July 7th is a huge one. There's one that we're really excited about in August that we're playing with a band called The Garden of Heden. An amazing, amazing band that that I'm really excited that we're playing with. So that's happening south of the city, though. So that's happening in Bellingham, Massachusetts. But yeah, we've got a lot of gigs lined up. A couple of them at the Midway, a couple of them at the Jungle, which we're really excited about. There's a lot going on.
Awesome. Great to hear. I guess another general question. Who would you say are your musical influences?
Chris's is The Cult.
So, yeah. So every guitar player has their big three, right? So with, for me, like, some people would be like Randy Rhoads, Jimmy Page, and Jimi Hendrix, right? So that's the classic. For me, my big three are Billy Duffy of The Cult. So if you guys don't know who The Cult are, they were a really cool rock band from the 80s through the 90s. They still make great music even today. They had a new album out like 2 years ago, or this past year actually, which is amazing. So Billy Duffy of The Cult. The second one is Tracy Guns of LA Guns, which is a amazing Sunset Strip rock band, you know, back in the day, still active, still making music. And the third one is the legendary Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols, who really just invented punk rock music in a way that for me just always blows my mind. And his later work is even more impressive. So if you could ever study up on Steve Jones, he's legendary.
For me, like, if we're doing like a big three, mm-hmm. I think for me, for vocalist Vince Neil. No, I'm just kidding. I think probably my top one would be Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. I just think she is like the coolest person, like, and her voice just over time has just got this like rasp and this thickness, and she is such a great performer live. Another one would probably for me have to be, for a vocalist, Johnny Hawkins from the band Nothing More. They're kind of like a progressive metal-ish band, but his voice is just so clean. And he just transitions from clean vocals to scream vocals just so well. And probably my last one, I think, as a lyricist and as a singer and a screamer, I think Noah Sebastian from a band called Bad Omens is probably just, he's just so good. And the lyrics are just, they're so good. And again, like, I saw them live recently, and to just hear, like, it's very hard to go from like these gritty, dirty screaming vocals to just clean, beautiful, clear vocals, and he just seamlessly does it. So, and obviously, though, it's very, like, much heavier than what we do, mm-hmm. but, you know, I kind of want to take, like, the grit from Lizzie Hale, and, you know, maybe some, the newer stuff that we're writing is very, like, Bad Omens, like, style, and lyrics and everything. So, yeah, those would probably have to be my big three.
Very cool.
Probably gonna get kicked out of the band after I give you my big three, but first probably my parents.
Nah,
well, music.
You're out of the band.
No. Wait till the last two. They've just always inspired me, not even in music, but just in life, to do whatever I want and not whatever I want, but whatever, you know, my passion, follow my dreams and follow my passion. But growing up, they were always playing music in the house, probably like everyone else's parents, you know, but just like, it was wasn't just one genre. My dad would play disco, he would play all these different types of songs, and I feel like that's kind of what molded me into being the musician I am. Number two is John Mayer, and it's not so much his music, but the way he explains things and the way he references things and explains how, you know, he makes his music, it kind of like has helped me in the past. And three is Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson's great.
He's the GOAT. I thought the John Mayer was gonna get me kicked out.
Oh, I almost did. I thought you were gonna say amazing. Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber definitely got you out of the band.
I can name every Justin Bieber song, but he's not.
My three, I'd probably go with Cliff Burton from Metallica, the early days.
Yeah.
I really like the guy from Aerosmith.
Brad Hamilton.
No, he's an excellent bass player, and probably Flea, who I can do nothing like him. None of the slapping and popping. No, the guy's incredible. Same thing with like Les Claypool from Primus. Mm-hmm. Like, great. great, inspired by, but cannot do anything like those guys. You know,
I mean,
but that would be it.
Les Claypool's playing is almost like it's a singer's voice. It's you know, just, you can really pick it out.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Well, that just about brings us to the end of the hour. You've been listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm joined by the Electric Aces. Do you guys have any final words of wisdom?
Yeah, so my big words of wisdom is to come to the Midway on July 7th to see Jean-Paul, and then the Electric Aces. It's going to be a great night. Tip your bartender. Come out, meet somebody. You might fall in love with one of us or somebody in the crowd. No promises, but you never know. Or one of you guys. I would love to see you guys at the show as well. So
love
yeah,
to be there.
Yeah. So come on out, bring some friends, and let's party.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Blast. And hope to see you guys at the Midway.
All right. Excellent.
Cool.
Thanks.
All right. And to finish us off, we're going to have a song from a local band called The Weekend Friends.
They say no one loves a quitter, but it's been getting hard to love myself. I'm either paranoid or bitter about everybody else. Keep your feet on the ground now, but the earth is giving out.